Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You were tuning into Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're layering. I can't talk tonight. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guests tonight are going to be iconic singer Barbara Van Orden. And later we're going to talk to Hollywood celebrity yoga trainer Rainbow Mars. So join us. Go grab a martini, slip into something comfortable, put your best high heels on, and sit around for the next hour and have a fun chat with us. Hey, Nance.
Hi, Lisa.
We had some technical difficulties, so we're getting a little late started. So we'll do our products at the end this week, if our products of the week, if we have time. I don't want to take any time away from Barbara.
No.
How's that sound? Is that okay?
Too excited.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to, without further ado, let me introduce Barbara. She's an iconic model, actress, comedian, singer, who has opened for Frank Sinatra, Milton Berle, and a successful businesswoman, and we are thrilled to welcome her. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good.
Oh,
this
good.
This is quite the honor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
So tell us, I read that you were assistant buyer at Bonwit Tellers.
Yes, I was. I'm from the East Coast originally, New York, New Jersey.
Yeah, what did they close maybe about 15 years ago?
Yeah, and maybe it's longer than that. And yes, I was. I was assistant buyer, and we were doing a photo shoot, and one of the photographers said to me, "Why are you behind the camera and not in front?" And I said, "I don't know." And that was then history. That was history. Then we went on to become a model, and I did a lot of print work, and I did over 100 television commercials, and you name them. Oh, my God, Ford Car and Yardley Lip Gloss, and it goes on and on and on. And then I became a singer. I was always a singer, but, I mean, I became a nightclub singer, and I broke in at the Catskill Mountains. And I worked at Grossinger's and the Neville. What a training ground that was. It was wonderful. And, you worked with all the greats, and it was just fabulous. They don't have that anymore, but it was wonderful. And then go ahead.
Was that like one of those resorts like a Dirty Dancing? Did you see the movie Dirty Dancing?
Oh, exactly. Yes, of course.
Okay, yeah.
And Jenny Grossinger, who was, you know, the matriarch of Grossinger's, she used to walk around with a seltzer bottle. And if you were a single girl or fellow, she'd say, "Darling, do I have a boy or girl for you?" And she'd squirt the seltzer bottle a little bit in your glass. And, I mean, it was everybody knew everybody by the time the whole evening was over. I mean, it was just so homesy and wonderful. And she was like a real yenta. I mean, she was wonderful, though. Everybody loved her.
Now, you opened for Milton Berle and Red Buttons. What was that like?
Oh, my God. A training ground beyond. I mean, it was like going to college. And Milton was so good. I mean, he started so young, and, I mean, just the history behind Milton alone. He was wonderful to work with. He really was. He was very protective. And I remember, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but if you're going to get to the Persian Room that I'm going to talk about later. But one night when I was working in the Persian Room at the Plaza Hotel, and that's when I was opening for Frank Sinatra, Milton Berle was in the audience. And I'm coming through the audience because I said, "Frank, can I come from the back?" Because you checked everything with Frank. You didn't do a thing without checking. Anyway, he said, yes, sure, you can come from the back. Well, my first time up at bat, and, of course, opening for Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board, I'm coming through the audience, and Milton Berle is sitting there, and I am shaking. My hands are shaking, and he's going, kid, what do you have, palsy? What is this, kid? And everybody started laughing, and, of course, by that time, I wasn't nervous at all, and I went on to work with Milton Berle, but he was very, very kind, very nice, and he certainly knew his profession. Oh, my God. He was the consummate professional, just excellent.
Then you went to work at Playboy Club.
And oh, yes. Well, from
sales and Buddy Hackett as well, didn't you?
Oh, yes. And from the Catskill Mountains, which I did do, you know, I was everybody's girl singer up there. I mean, you know, Pepe Callahan, the Hot Pepper Band, I'm the girl singer. I mean, just whoever worked up there, the comedians, Jackie Mason, you name them, I was the opening act. But after that, I worked the Playboy Clubs I was asked to do, and I worked with Maury Amsterdam, and I worked with Buddy Hackett, and I worked with all the real greats, and I did all of them around, and I even did the one in London at the Playboy Club, and that was really a lot of... No, I wasn't a bunny. And just
how did you do that? Did you wear a bunny outfit?
No bunny, no bunny dips, no nothing, no bunny. But anyway, it was wonderful, and Buddy was very, very good to work. They were all so very good because they all had their specialties and some things that they were very, very special in. You learned from that. You learned many times. You learned. In fact, it was Buddy Hackett who said to me, "Kid, we're gonna go, and we're gonna see all these acts because we learn whether the act is good or bad. We learn from the good and the bad. We learn more from the bad than the good." And you know, even on and on. But it was wonderful.
Cool. Wow. What were these men like? What was Frank Sinatra like? Because I know then you opened for him in Vegas, didn't you?
Yeah, well, no. I actually opened for Shecky Green, and Frank came to the show. And after the show, Frank came downstairs, and he said, "I've got a gig in New York at the Persian Room at the Plaza Hotel. Would you open for me?" Of course I said no. Oh, I was so excited. I went, yes, 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 yes. I was thrilled. So anyway, the time came, and I came into New York. As I said, I'm an East Coast person, so to me it was coming home, you know. And I opened that night at the Persian Room. But Frank was very, very kind to me and very, very good to me. And Frank either liked you or he didn't. And you were a lady or you were not a lady in his eyes. And why was he so good to me? Well, you know, I one night I'm getting dressed to go on, and I'm spraying my hair, and my little boy was home in Jersey, you know, the flu, of course. My sister's taking care of him, Aunt Terry, and I'm saying to him on the phone, "Did Aunt Terry give you ginger ale? Are you feeling better?" And of course, we hear the words that all mothers really, it goes right to our heart, right? "When are you coming home, Mommy?" So Frank heard this, and every time I worked with Frank, he would always say to me, or he'd call me through the years or whatever, he'd go, "How is the Aunt Terry and our little boy?" He was very, very kind. Somehow that touched his heart beyond words. And, you know, when you work with a lot of people, like I work with Soupy Sales at the Playboy Clubs and various other places, and, you know, at the time, the girl singers, we either open for male comedians or male singers. And, of course, the male singer or comedian would invite you to dinner. And then guess who was supposed to be dessert? Yes. Yes, right. And we did everything possible we could do. "Oh, we have an Aunt Tilly coming in from Ohio. We can't go." Or, "I'm getting a cold." Or you know, "Some gorilla's waiting for me up the street." Or so anything you came up with not to be in that position. Well, one night when I was working with Soupy Sales at the New York Playboy Club, he said to me, "Kid, I'd like to hit on you, but the word is out." You know, those years, I was so shy and naive. You know how, mm-hmm. How I didn't get into trouble, I will never know. But anyway, and I said, "The word? Oh my God! What word?" I was petrified. And I finally got up in the courage, and I said, "Soupy, what word?" He said, "Frank, let it be known that if anyone does anything with Miss Van Orden that he didn't approve of, we'll answer to him." Well, thank God for Frank, and thank God for the word. Oh, my God, it saved me so many situations that would have been, well, maybe something I didn't want.
I guess the kind of atmosphere is conducive to that, huh?
Oh, yes, 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 especially in those years, you know. And because, you know, basically if you were a girl singer, you were to undulate out in your black sack evening gown with the cleavage and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right,
and.
Right.
You know how that goes. So, you know, we were like, we were put on a pedestal. We were not supposed to fall off, but yet we were not supposed to be on a pedestal when they didn't want us on a pedestal. I mean, it was really a crazy time. It's like Mad Men in the 60s, you know, that
right.
program that's on Mad Men. It's just like that. Because mm-hmm. we all went to 21. We went to, you know, we went to all these places, mm-hmm. Sardi's, and we would go in the Russian Tea Room, and I mean, and all this kind of thing went on all the time. But they were wonderful years.
Night oil every night, huh?
Pardon me?
I guess you burn the midnight oil every night, huh?
Well, sure, you know what it is. It's in those days, you got booked into a place for 2 weeks or 10 days, and you did, during the week, two shows a night, and on the weekend, three shows. And, you know, so you were very late because the third show was late. And in between the show, you'd run upstairs because, you know, you tape all your shows all the time, and you'd listen and say, did that get a laugh? Did this one get a laugh? Or did that song go over well? Did they like that? And I mean, you were always doing that. So, you were burning the midnight oil. So whether you're performing or when you came home, you were sometimes rewriting your material figuring out what am I going to do next to my act, or how do I change it, or what way is it better, and, you know, all of that. It was wonderful.
Oh, cool.
Well, we've spent a lot of time looking at your YouTube information on your website, and I love all of your information about your seminars that you give.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, they were speaking engagements, and when it got to the point, you know, when nightclubs died out, there was no longer that situation, you know, where you had that type of act. I mean, then it went Sammy, Liza, and Frank, you know, type of thing. And then it went very few nightclubs, and you couldn't do it. So what I did was I went into the business end of the business. And, you know, here I was living on carrots and celery, you know, 5 feet eight to be 125 pounds. I mean, you know, you didn't eat very much. So I went into the business end of the business. And I formed my own production company, and I was at Universal Studios. And it was called Cinequest. And I produced a lot of many television things. And my husband and I produced, you know, like Run for Your Life, The Bold Ones, Alias Smith and Jones, Lucas Tanner, The Blue Knight, Laura Morin, and then 37 Movie of the Weeks, at Universal through the years. He was part of the Roy Huggins unit. And it was very, very fulfilling and very nice. It was another part of the business that I truly, truly enjoyed. And then through living that in nightclubs and going through, you know, when the mail show and this type of thing, those years and all of that, I started out with being a speaker, talking about how you could be in love and in business with the same person, because my husband and I were a team, and we worked every day together, and we were together every night, that type of thing. So I started giving seminars on that. And then I started giving seminars on, you know, how to get the deal, how to make the deal, how to close the deal, that type of thing. And then it went into a personal life, dating. It just really grew. But one of the things it really did was, in 1982, I was crossing the street by one of my offices, and an epileptic blacked out and hit me at the impact of 65 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
He broke my right leg, which was 17 breaks, which were humongous. Like, you know, they were not hairline fractures. They came out like a palm tree, the bones. The left leg had 5 fractures, left me with curvature of the spine. I had internal problems. My back was ripped open. My head was ripped open in the front and the back, and my neck was crushed.
Oh,
and
dear.
It was horrible. Needless to say. And I spent 2 years, well, 18 operations, and I spent 2 years really in a hospital bed, most of it at home, about 7 months in the hospital with body casts and both legs. And then when I came home, I was in the hospital bed because I was still in the cast. And then it came time for the cast to come off, and that was a very frightening thing because you never know what's underneath the cast. What are you left with, you know? So I spent 3 years at outpatient therapy at UCLA learning how to walk all over again. It was 5 days a week, 4 hours every day, 3 years, and then I finally could walk.
Three painful years, I imagine.
Oh, unbelievable, because, you know, at the time there was Cybex and Ultratrons were the machines, and here you are, you're not feeling well anyway, and atrophy had set in tremendously, you know, into your muscles and so forth, and you're doing the exercise, and you become very ill. You know, first you get very nauseous, and then you upchuck all over yourself, and they drag you in the hall, wipe you off, and then drag you back in, and you get back up on the... I mean, it's really, it's not to be terrible, but when I had the body cast and the both legs, I mean, I lived with upchuck on me, because you can't get it off the cast. Once it gets on there, it stays in there. and you know, you wipe it, but and the smell of it, the stench was horrible, plus the fact the pain. And I had a, and my right leg, which had the 12 breaks, I had a rod, a plate, and bolt, and screws in the leg. So at the one time, I remember finally when they did come out after 2 years, they took him out because then calcium had deposited enough to hold my leg together, and I didn't need the brace and the, all of that inside the skin. I remember having it, and my husband said to me, "My God, what is that?" He said, "From our boat?" I said, "No, they're from my leg." And it's just, it's horrible. I almost, on the when I was in the hospital, when they first brought me in, of course, I was unconscious. But the leg was so bad, the right leg, that there were four doctors on my case, and three of them wanted to amputate my leg.
Oh,
and
my.
The fourth doctor said to me, you know, and of course I'm being shot up with morphine every 2 hours because I was just, you know, just in so much pain. And anyway, the doctor said to me, you know, I've never done this, but I've seen a German procedure. Shall I try it? Well, of course, you know, what am I going to say? Yes, please. My goodness, please. Anyway, he did the operation, and he saved my leg. So I have my right leg, and, you know, I work very hard to keep everything as intact as much as I could. But it took 5 years out of my life of bad suffering. And I had just moved to California when this accident happened. And I didn't know a soul. And here we are, my son, myself, and I was sole support to my son. I was mother and father because his father had died. And, excuse me, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, and he was frightened to death because he's a little boy and he sees, you know, his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his everybody, which I was, in the bed. And, I never felt sorry for myself one time because my main thing was, and I would look at him and he was so devastated, and I kept saying to him, "It's going to be okay. We'll be all right." He says, "Mom, it's bad, it's bad." I said, "Don't worry, I will be okay." And I think, you know, just I get chills thinking about it, you know, or talking about it. Anyway, and I think to myself, you know, to this day, I think that's why he's in medicine, that I didn't feel sorry for myself. I didn't have time, nor I think it's not my makeup. You know, one never knows how you're going to be. And, of course, however anyone is, it is understandable. If you're, you know, crying or depressed or blue or most understandable. But I didn't have time for that. All I could think in my mind was, what can I do to get up, get out of this mess? And I kept going and going. And finally, I know the first 2 months they were giving me morphine, and I said, you know what? I don't want this anymore because, it makes you very strange. You know, you can't deal with things normally. Excuse me. And I just said, I'll deal with the pain. They said, you won't be able to with the rod and those bolts and the plate and the knee. I mean, good Lord, you can't. I said, I'll deal with it. And it was bad. But I'm glad I, you know, stopped it because, you know, whoever knows, one can get hooked on these things so badly, you know, and what that could have been.
Exactly.
But
now, was he 9 years old at this time?
Yes, roughly, but 8, 9.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was a little boy. You know, and
right.
To him it was devastating. And I'll tell you, when the time finally came after the 2 years that I finally had, because, you know, you go from a hospital bed to the wheelchair to a walker to crutches to a cane, and that's through the years. I mean, when we'd go to outpatient therapy, I mean, I had a driver that would have to come get me. He would have to, put like 4 belts around me between the driver and my son. They would like drag me to the, you know, to the door, pardon me, to get me, you know, in the car. And many times in our home, when no one was around, it was just he and I, I couldn't walk a lot of it, so we had a throw rug, and I would sit on the throw rug, and he would pull me on the, you know, hardwood floors by the rug around so I could get to, you know, certain places where I had to go, into the bathroom. It was terrible, and the poor little kid, I mean, without him, I don't know what I would have done.
Oh, and it seems like you helped him as well. You mentioned he's in medicine. What does he do?
Yes, 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 he does. Well, he was in the Navy for quite a while. And he was a corpsman in the Navy, and he really, really enjoyed tremendously that. And he had been at UCSF in San Francisco, where he went to school for medicine and all of that. And right now he's teaching it in Florida. He lives in Jacksonville.
Does he have a specialty?
Yes, heart.
Oh, God bless him.
Yes. But he, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he saw me so badly. I mean, when you're a little kid and you're little and you're dragging your mother around the floor because I can't stand up.
On a throw rug.
On a throw rug that, thank God, that we had hardwood floors so that the floor rug would, you know, slide easily.
Yes.
So, you know, it was just a terrible situation. But you know what? I felt that when that ended and I finally could get up and walk again, I felt that there was nothing that could ever get my way or that I couldn't do if I didn't want to. I mean, there's nothing I couldn't do. Do you know what I mean? I've been through
we know.
Hell and back.
And in fact, after listening and researching so we'd be prepared tonight, after just watching, everyone who's listening, I encourage you, her link is on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. Click on it. I love your seminars that you give, and your quote is, if I can, you can.
Yes. And no one's ever to feel sorry for themselves. And anyway, I went back to work, went back to the companies, pardon me, forming my own production company, Cinequest, and doing all of that. And then 2 years ago, Ann Nelson, who was senior vice president at CBS Network, and she said to me, Barbara, business affairs, she said, Barbara, why aren't you performing anymore? I said, Ann, where is there to perform? There's no clubs anymore. Anyway, there's a place called the Catalina Jazz Club up on Sunset. It's very, very, there's a lot of talent, like Lainey Kazan or Liza Minnelli, or, you know, we'll go and perform there. Anyway, I took 9 months off, wrote my own act, which I always did, write my material, and I performed there. And I thought, well, you know, everybody will be happy now, and I did it, and that's that. Well, I haven't stopped working. I'm now performing again. In fact, I've just, Patty Farmer is a girl who wrote a book called The Persian Room Presents at the Plaza Hotel, and it's the story of all of us that performed at the Persian Room, and it's wonderful, and I'm going around with a book tour with all of that, and I'm going, it's just, and I'm performing, too, and I'm probably going to do the Carlisle, and I'm going to do Feinstein's Room, but who would ever thought at this stage of my life I'd be out there performing again. Life for me seems to have come full circle.
Exactly. And your cabaret show, is it called Red Hot Mama?
Well, that's what it's really love, 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 but they made it Red Hot Mama because I have fans and feathers. I do glamour, you know, all that kind of thing. Nostalgia. And that's how it gotten to be called Red Hot Mama. But it's really love, love, love. That's what I call it. But, you know what? I think Yogi Berra said it. It's not over till it's over. And no one, no matter how old you are or how terrible or how ill you are, you never stop. You have to keep going because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, wonderful things have happened. I'm enjoying my life tremendously now. It's absolutely fascinating and fantastic. I never know. And the speaking engagements, every place I go, no matter whether it's with performing, it all gets to people ask me, how in the world did I ever get through that horrible accident? And I just said, you don't feel sorry for yourself. You just say, what can I do to get up and out of this mess? And you keep going. And I just, you know, and someone made me for my, over the back of my office, back of my chair in my office, and it was tapestry, and it says, you got to keep moving because a moving target's hard to hit. And I believe that. You got to keep going no matter what.
Right. And your seminars that you talk about important things in life like work, health,
yep,
and happiness. And again, your message is, if I can, you can. I think people,
yes,
love that.
Yes. Well, if you can go through all the, you know, the things that happen, like the horrible accidents, and of course, you know, we all have other horrible things that happen to us through our life because life is a roller coaster ride. I mean, let's face it. But you just keep going. I'm married now. I have a wonderful husband, and, you know, I'm performing. I'm enjoying that tremendously. My son is very healthy and wonderful. I have a grandson, and he's wonderful. And just life is very good. But lying in that bed, if for one moment I felt sorry for myself or felt that I wanted to do drugs or go on, you know, have more morphine and keep all this stuff going on, I wouldn't be here like this now. I don't know what I would be.
And we applaud you. Now, let's back up a little bit. When you moved to the West Coast after your accident, correct? Then
yes.
You were on a recurring role on Welcome Back, Kotter?
Yes. No, I moved to California, and I had the accident in California. I would came from Chicago. I had moved. I was living in New York and Chicago because I was doing, you know, nightclubs in Vegas and various things. So I had moved from Chicago because I was doing Welcome Back, Kotter. I did 12 episodes. I was a French teacher.
Oh, wow.
And a redhead in those days.
Yeah. Now, was that before the accident?
That was before the accident.
Okay. We used to love watching Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yes. Well, the thing was, Dr. Woodman would be speaking to my breasts because I was taller than he and a redhead and all that kind of thing. And I was supposed to be a French teacher. And, you know, it was silly, but it was fun. And I did blah, blah, black sheeps, and I did, you know, that type of thing. And I did a lot of things, though, I did with the glamour shots. I did a lot of legs pantyhose commercials. All those commercials were my legs all the time. And, you know, oh, my God, I can't even, millions of things like that. And but, yes, I enjoyed doing the television things. But I got to a point when, you know, being 125 pounds, 5 feet 8, and sometimes I had to be 120, 115, and a redhead, and the roots were coming in as I was walking out of the hairdresser's door because I have long, very long, thick hair. And I just said, you know, I want to go into the business end of the business. And that I did do. And I was a personal manager, and I had a lot of very, very, well, famous clients, and I had writers, producers, and directors, and my husband. And then we, Lou Wasserman from Universal had asked us to form a production company and come into Universal, come on the lot, and produce.
And so, that was CineQuest.
That was CineQuest, yes, absolutely, CineQuest.
And
we enjoyed that.
Is it through CineQuest that you wrote and produced An Evening with Jacques Cousteau?
Yes, yes, indeed. It was wonderful. He was such a wonderful kind. I mean, there's no other, I mean, who else, you know? Wonderful man. Here he was at the time, 78, and that night at the Television Academy, that's where I had produced it, and he was going and the show, and they were showing, you know, all the slides, and then he did his wonderful talk and about the Calypso, his boat, and all of that. And he was, and I said, Jacques, should we take you back to your hotel? Are you tired? No, no. He said, I can go till 3 in the morning, and then I'm going to get up at 5, and I'm flying off to France. I mean, he was wonderful. But, you know, he invented that iron lung, the underwater.
Submarine, right?
Yes, yes. Because
I saw that show.
Yes, because he had a terrible accident himself, a sickness, and and he needed to have some kind of rehabilitation. And life is interesting. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. Because that day I crossed the street, did I know? I had no idea. And I'm, you know, old enough and tall enough to look both ways, which I did do. And you never know.
Whatever happened to the guy that hit you?
Well, he was an epileptic who had some kind of a brain damage. And he was 47 years old at the time, and he had no insurance.
Oh.
And he had, oh, yes, one of those. He lived home with his mother, and he was a box boy in a store called Robinson's. I don't know if you would know that name, but it'd be like Macy's and out here. And that was what that was. And so I had tried very hard to get him. In fact, more even so, I think, than the hurt of the accident. You know, I fought Workman's Compensation, the insurance company, Republic Indemnity, for 27 years. In fact, I'm the longest running case they ever had that fought them. Tooth and nail. Because, you know, you have an accident, because my accident was covered by Workman's Compensation, you see. And they had agreed by law that I was to have medical care for my injuries for the rest of my life. Well, that's fine and dandy, but try and get it. They fight you all the way. And, horrendous, humiliating, just degrading, horrible stuff they put you through. But I was so mad. I thought, you know, this is injury to insult here. I mean, insult to injury. How dare they? And all that, I went through that pain and so forth. And then on top of it, they're giving me this. Thank God I had the money to pay for the bills, because I never got compensated until 27 years later.
Oh, my.
And, in fact, I'm going to write a book all about that, too.
Oh, good. You'll have to come back on Chit Chat Cafe Live and tell us all about it.
Oh, boy. you can't give up there either. And I didn't. I fought them. In fact, there was one point where downtown in L.A., they had the senators had met and congressmen. They were for the reformation of the work comp system, workman's compensation. And I went down. I was asked to speak by a doctor. And in the audience were doctors and people who carried the insurance and those who were injured. And it was quite a mixed group. Anyway, they would get up and speak. And they were so horrendous, some of the stories. They lost their house. They lost their family. They wanted to kill themselves. They wanted to jump off a bridge because they couldn't pay their bills anymore because they weren't being compensated where they were told they were going to be compensated. I mean, it was terrible. And I remember I was so annoyed because, you know, I think, when you go to speak, there's one way, you write for speaking, and there's one way you write when you're going to read it. And I thought, before I get very, emotional about this, I'm going to write it all down so I get hit every point. And I remember my opening line was, "Senators, I'm here to protest the injustices of the work comp system. It needs to be reformed, and it needs to be reformed now. I am 12 years, that's what's 12 years at the time, I'm 12 years of out-of-pocket expenses, and what are you going to do about it?" And then I listed all the things that I've been through and why, and because they make you, make up books to send to the company, this was Republic Indemnity, of all your receipts from all the vendors that you needed, from your accident. And, all these years, I have gazillion amount of receipts because I needed, monthly, weekly, constantly all kinds of stuff for what I was going through. And they would make up these books, and they say, "Well, make up 4 copies of everything." You'd make it up, and then you'd send it to them, and they go, "Well, I don't know. I guess we lost it. We don't know. Make it up again. Do more." And you've got books and books 5, 6, 8 inches high of receipts, and constantly tormenting you that way, constantly sending you to doctors who say to you, "Why are you here? We've told them that this is such a legitimate case. Why do they keep sending?" Well, of course, to harass you, and someone's making the money on the other side, And the lawyers they send you to, and they send you to all kinds of psychiatrists. "Why now? Why did you jump in front of that car?" I mean, stuff like that. And the car was a 1952 Chevy, and the fellow has no insurance. Of course I'm going to jump in front of something like that, right? I mean, unbelievable what they put you through. And it's humiliating and degrading. And then they keep sending you for tests after test after MRI after this, after that. It goes on and on and on. And never are they going to reimburse you. Well, finally, after that day when I said that, they reimbursed me after being out of pocket for 12 years. They reimbursed me for that. Of course, it was not interest and penalty, just reimbursed me for the money that I had to lay out. And then the next year, they paid it because you're supposed to submit it for every 30 days, your receipts, and they're supposed to pay it. Anyway, they paid for the year, and then it started all over again. Then into the 14th year, up until the 27th year, nothing. And they kept saying, "Make receipts, send us again. We lost them. We don't know about it. We don't know." It was terrible. And I must have gone monthly. I must have gone at least twice a week, every week, for 27 years to some kind of doctor, have some kind of test. It was foolishness to have some kind of this or that or the other thing.
Harassment. Oh, dear.
Well, that's another story.
Well, you've been through it all, and thank goodness that you had your positive attitude, like you said. Now, you were mentioning that you perform at the Carlisle?
I'm going to.
Now, where is that located?
Right in New York.
That's what we thought.
What street?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Carlisle Hotel. Yes.
Yeah, Lisa and I had tea there with Betty Ann there at the Carlisle. When will you be there, Barbara?
I don't know the date yet. That's what we're trying to work out right now, because right now I'm involved with a book tour that the Persian Room Presents by Patty Farmer, that is about the Persian Room at the Plaza Hotel that went from, I think it was the 30s up until the middle of the 70s. I performed there early 70s, and it was wonderful because we did a book signing over Barnes & Noble. I was in March 6th we did it, or March 7th. And there were on the dais were people that had played there in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s,
wow.
And the 60s, and the 70s. And it was
wonderful.
Really, do you remember at all the Persian Room at the Plaza Hotel? Do either of you remember it?
No, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, it was like the quintessential, if you got to play the Persian Room, it was heaven. It was like you made it. It was like, I'm getting chills. It was like being able to be invited to Johnny Carson's show. Not only could you perform, but then he asked you to sit down on the sofa and talk with him. I mean, it was like a happening, a great thing. Like, oh, my God. These are for, you know, people had just started. But big names. Lainey Kazan played it. Liza Minnelli played it. Oh, my God. I can't even think of all the names that go on and on and on. Oh, Lord, who it's Carol Lawrence played it, and Andy Williams, and Michelle Lee, and it goes on and on.
Wow. Well, we actually are going to have you back, perhaps, because we're going to have this book as our guest coming up on Chit Chat Cafe Live in the next few months.
Well, how lovely. How wonderful.
And anyway, what I was getting at, Lisa and I would love to join you at the Carlisle sometime in New York, so we'll have to stay in touch.
Oh, yes,
out.
Please. I would love it. I would love it.
We would love that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to come and see you sing.
Oh,
yes. Love that.
Oh, good.
Well,
I'd
Barbara, we need to wrap this up now, but we would love to see you at the Carlisle.
Yeah,
or
you. When you're going to be there.
Or Fine says, I don't know. We're working on the date right now when I'm going to be doing it. We're trying to
all
figure
right.
out when.
And in the meantime, if you happen to talk with your friend Liza Minnelli or anyone else and you want to come back for a chat, contact us and we'll have you back again for more fun stories.
Well, how nice of you. How very nice of you.
We would
Thank
love
you.
That. We
Thank
have
you so
on
much.
Our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so all of our listeners can click on your diamonds.
Oh,
on your website.
Oh, yes, I do love my jewels, yes.
I know. I love your website. Everyone, I want you to go to our website and you're going to have to click on the diamonds to see what I'm talking about. Well, Barbara, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you so much, both of you. Have a lovely, lovely. I appreciate it and enjoyed it so much.
We can't wait to have you back.
Well, the time just went by. We could have talked for days and hours here.
I know. Just wait till we meet at the Carlisle.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have a ball.
Well,
all
thank
right, my
you,
darling.
Barbara.
Thank you so much. How wonderful. And I appreciate it so much. Love, love, love to you all.
Love you. Bye.
And if I can, you can.
That's right. Thank
That's
you.
That's right. Bye.
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 I love that. I got so involved listening to her YouTube videos. If I can, you can. I felt like that all day today. Oh, well, I think I heard our next guest, Rainbow Mars. Have you joined us?
Yes, I have. Hi.
Oh, I'm so glad. We were just speaking with iconic singer, cabaret performer, Barbara Van Orden. You'll have to look on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website.
Oh, yeah, I've
and
heard of her.
Find out. Yes, yeah, she's delightful. Well, everyone, this is wonderful. Lisa would like to introduce, or I think I am, excuse me. Rainbow Mars is the CEO of Rainbow Mars Lifestyle. She's a holistic health and fitness beauty lifestyle expert and the creator of numerous yoga DVDs. You're a yoga instructor in Hollywood with clientele, including many A-list celebrities, models, and moguls. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live, Rainbow Mars. How are you?
I am so well, thank you. That bio seems outdated, as I'm always updating myself. I couldn't be better. The stuff that I share and practice actually works, and it's continuously shape-shifting my life into ways that are extraordinary. So I'm very grateful.
Well,
how
tell
are
us
you?
A little bit about your training and then how we can shape shift.
About my training. Interesting. I just noticed that my Twitter account, I was trying to tweet that I was on and it like disappeared. So I have 30,000 followers that have just
Well,
disappeared.
Hello
my
everyone.
Page just disappeared. I just want you to know that. I might have to start a new one. So if you heard a hesitation, hi. So my training, I only offer right now a few trainings. I have a virtual training that people can do all over the world. And basically it started out as, I've sold millions of copies of DVDs that really come from a vinyasa flow, if you know vinyasa flow or ashtanga or power yoga type movement. But I evolved that practice with martial arts movement, and it was called Ryoka. And Ryoka means integration through the sun, the sun exists at the center of all of us. I mean, it exists in the sky, but there's this, we have a solar plexus. So basically, I started practicing something called Rayoga. That became Adidas Yoga. I was the face of Adidas for 3 years. And that's something at this point, because I'm acting now. I'm doing I'm doing a movie. I'm doing a program in Tulum called Earth with Cirque du Soleil and stuff like this for other ways of world activation. So in the meantime, I already have these virtual teacher trainings you could do, and I do two in person in the summertime when my daughter's away with her dad. So maybe you want more specific answer, but that's sort of the broadness. I don't know which training you're talking about. I also do a class.
Well, no, I was just curious how you got your start. How have you always been interested in yoga?
Oh, yoga means union, so I've always been interested in understanding more about myself. I was, and life, and the world, and the planet. I was born in a teepee under a double rainbow. My mom has, 17 books on natural medicine. My godmother's a yoga teacher and Ayurvedic doctor. So I really was raised around a lot of information. And when I moved to Hollywood at about 18, because I had been in a big film with Woody Harrelson and Brett Harrelson, who I ran into today, The People vs. Larry Flint, I used yoga to center myself in the midst of the chaos. And I love it in the way that I do acting, so I started studying it more and doing teacher trainings, just because you can only learn so much from a two-hour class, and then people asked me if I could share with them and teach them. And I ended up, teaching a bunch of people and having videos and stuff. But it continues to be that which makes me better talent. I guess what I want to share is it helps you do whatever you do only better. So it doesn't matter if you're a writer or a singer or a dancer or an actor or a business executive. It's really that tool that helps you go inside to find your passion, what drives you, and it just helps you kind of be connected and more aligned with all of those other things. So it doesn't mean that you only have to do yoga, but it's just, for me, it's that thing of nothing else does such as amazing things as the practice does. So
okay, and this is also what you speak about as being a lifestyle expert.
Yeah. Yes. Is that a question?
Yes. I'm talking about when you give these lifestyle talks, do you speak about fitness and beauty and holistic health?
Yeah. One of the bigger things that I'm into is food. I have a virtual cleanse 4 times a year that we basically give you a weekly. It takes 21 days to break or make a pattern. And we talk about, we give you a food recipe a day, a weekly manual, and basically how you can become your most beautiful self in a 3-week period. And we support you with the group support team, with experts in the field of nutrition or science or feng shui. We just had someone on our last spring cleanse. And we do like a daily email. It's really exciting. So that's like, basically think of me as a healthy Martha Stewart. So Martha taught people how to entertain. My day job is how to teach you how to heal and get healthier in your home. So what you do in your life in sport is affected by what you do in the kitchen. What you do in the kitchen affects what you do in your bedroom and bathroom. So I teach about beauty disciplines or tantra, sexual ways to keep your love alive and to go up. I talk a lot about sexuality lately and tantra, and then what you do in your bedroom and bathroom affects what you do in your home and garden. What you do in your home and garden affects what you do in your life, your sport, and the world. So it's very, everything is connected. We're connected with everything, and we really are only as sick as the things that we're hiding. So I'm all about unveiling every aspect of what's in the home and healing who you are and how you're relating to your home and therefore healing the world.
What exactly is tantric sex? I've heard the term for it, and I don't know exactly what it means.
Tantra is basically, it's how we weave our lives together. Some say that however much yoga you do, there's only, you can stay very internal and introverted, but when you are weaving your life with another, or even with yourself, possibly with a higher source, there is a process of taking all of the dark into the light, and in white tantra, you do it for, there's no place in your life that you escape to a darker place. You transmute lust into modesty, and you bring the energy up into your heart. You practice sublimating the energy and writing the energy, cultivating it, but letting it fill and heal your organs, your kidneys, your liver, your heart, so on and so on, so that you fall and you rise higher and higher in love and hopefully illuminate yourself and your partnership.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a lot of A-list clients. How did you get those clients? Just word of mouth or connection?
Yeah, I mean, I tell people if you want to be great at something, they'll find you. Or not, if you want something, be great at it, and they'll find you. You can't really, anything. If you want your dream partnership or your job or you attract it because you're really passionate about it. So, you know, it's not something you go and knock on, like, a celebrity's door about and say, let me teach you. That's not really going to happen. So I was very lucky in the household that I was raised in. I've been taught a lot since I can remember. So people have asked me to teach them since I was pretty young. I think my first client was when I was 19. And I've had an incredible list of, you know, people that I've supported. I've been like their in-house guru at times, which is really weird because I don't think of myself as a teacher. I feel like a baby student. But I have had these great clients throughout my existence. Yeah.
And you tell us about the movie that you're going to do.
The big project that I'm doing right now is called Earth, which is U-R-T-H, You Are the Hero. I play one of the guardians of the map, Michelle. Some really great people attached to this program, but it's still a little secretive. But I can tell you that the director of Black Swan is directing sort of this live performance that's going to be taking place in Mexico, and that all the planets are aligning. This is happening. The whole world should know that all the planets are aligning December 21st and December 22nd. And the Mayans have been talking about we would receive this huge surge of energy and that we need to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally. The way we prepare ourselves is to be in harmony, not me first or what do I need for my life, but how can I be in harmony with the stars, the plants, the animals, the earth. And so basically, I'm doing a series of leading up to that live performance that's going to be televised around the world. I'm going to be also doing documentaries for those people that are saying, what are the Mayans talking about and is this the end of the world? The information that we're receiving is that it's just an end of an era and it's the beginning of a new era. But in this alignment that we need to prepare ourselves, so what a better time to do yoga trainings or to do a cleanse, do many of them, and do whatever you need to do to become more raw, more real, more authentic with you. Because all the other stuff that is sort of in the way, like egos or different distractions, need to fall out of your system. So I guess when you asked me about my training earlier on, when I do teach my teacher trainings, I teach about the elements, the aligning the internal body, and then using innovative movement to also do the same thing. So I know it seems like there's just a lot of different directions that I'm going in, which is real because I'm not just like one thing. I'm not a yoga teacher, as I'm sure you are both, not just interviewees. You probably have an entire list of things that you do in your life.
Exactly.
But I love to just share. I'm just sharing the magic that I learn and some of the things that are giving me a really wonderful life.
Well, we think it's wonderful. And you know, Rainbow, we do have you on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website for our listeners with a link. They can click and come right to your website and find you. And so I'm sure many of our listeners are going to want to hear more about your yoga information and your yoga DVDs. So we are so happy you joined us tonight.
Thank you. We're finally settling in, huh? How are you? How are you? I feel like we were going to do chit-chat, like chill, and I don't know why I felt a little nervous I had to pour so much in the beginning, but I'm still not sure if I answered the first question correctly. I'd love to try again.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. We're just excited to hear all about you and promote you and your website and your yoga DVDs. That's what's kind of fun on chit-chat so that we can chat with all of our listeners and let them know how to find you.
I know, I'm still trying to figure out this Twitter thing. Did someone hack down my Twitter? you know, I love the isn't it incredible how it feels like the internet is basically from outer space? I mean, how connected we all are just by a click. This was not like this even 10 years ago.
It's very interesting. Well, you don't have to worry. We have tweeted to everyone making sure that they know that you're on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Thank you.
And we will keep you up on our website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of our listeners can click and find you. So, Rainbow Mars, this was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we're off now?
And we've enjoyed our chat with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Enjoy. Have a great evening.
Bye, you too. Goodbye.
Bye,
okay,
honey.
Bye.
That was fun. Interesting.
It's always interesting to hear about everyone's excitement about their exercise, whether it's Pilates or yoga or whatever you like to do. So that was fun. Remember, we are encouraging everyone, if you're interested in finding out more about Rainbow Mars or Barbara Van Orden, look at our website and you can see their links to find them. Well, Lisa, I know that you have a product ready to talk about tonight.
Yep, Clinique Body Sloughing Cream. It's got cleansing grains in it, and it's minty, and it makes you all tingly, and it makes your skin so soft. Before you get in the shower, just scrub it all over your body and take a shower, and your skin feels like it's like silk. Beautiful. Love it.
And is it clear or is it green? I forget.
It's green. It's green. It's in a jar. Well, you can buy
That's right.
Jar or in a tube.
And do you like the jar or the tube better?
I use the jar.
Okay.
Now, what's your
product? My product is a candle. It's made by a company called Green Leaf. It's hard to find now in my area. I have to go on the internet. I used to be able to find it locally. But just one little tiny candle will make my entire home smell fabulous.
Clean and fresh? Or
yes. And it's just unbelievable because it's, you know, a lot of times you want to have more than one candle burning.
Right.
Well, with Green Leaf candles, and I'm putting a call out there because I've been trying to invite Green Leaf to be our guest on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Yeah,
just one little candle in your kitchen makes your entire home smell fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Not 10 candles, one. So I have mine burning right now, and my home smells wonderful, so I wanted to have that as my product tonight. Well, great show tonight, Lisa. It was fun to chat with everyone.
Yep, it was. We had an interesting guest, for sure.
We did, and it will be fun especially to get to meet some of our guests again soon.
Yep.
Well, we're thanking our fabulous sponsor, St. Croix Orthopedics, and we're also thanking our producer, Corey King. You can enjoy the Corey King Show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Artist First.
And we'd like to thank our guests, Barbara Van Orden and Rainbow Mars. We are thanking everyone for downloading our archives. Just go to our webpage, scroll down to the date you want to listen to one of our past shows, click on the date, and just listen and enjoy. And, you know, we've had some really cool guests on. Well, good night, Nancy. I want to leave everybody with a quote tonight. And it is, never, ever regret anything that made you smile. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Good night, everyone.